All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, cool. As you know, one of my favorite features on Craigslist recently got deactivated, and that was missed connections.
Oh, I knew they got rid of casual encounters, but missed connections got the axe too?
Yep,
Huh.
they both got the axe, and I kept logging on there to see if anybody had any sweet Riven tips, and it just didn't. It never actually worked out for me. Nobody liked the joke. I couldn't get any ladies to have sex with me based on that joke. Like, it didn't work at all.
Well, the problem with Riven is, those animals only make the noise once and you really have to be paying attention.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I've had to go on to a Tor Dark Web situation to get a combination, kind of a new thing for it. And I pulled up an ad that I have responded using both of our email addresses, and
Cool,
we're outside
thanks.
the apartment now. To do this, and I the ad, I think we're going to be in for a good sexy time. The ad is full of misspellings though, so it says here, it's going to be it says here, do I make you horny, baby? Would you like to have a melange a trois? And I'm pretty sure that it's actually like a like three way that we're going to have, but I needed a second. So
Okay, so
it's full of misspellings. This person doesn't know anything, you know.
yeah, huh.
Do you want to do me? That should probably be do, right? Like I think that it's just like this person didn't run a spell check.
He, right. Melange, that's kind of strange. And then like a mixture.
Well, like I think it's supposed to be like menage. You know,
Oh, okay.
I think it's just it's I think they just like, you know,
Yeah.
it's internet speak. And
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
from a
So
pretty dark section of the dark web.
right. I mean, so some kind of slurry is still gonna be involved though.
Yeah. Oh
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I figured like you and I have known each other for a while. I think this is probably the next step of our creative partnership and friendship.
Yep. It at least
Yeah,
stands to reason.
it stands to reason that we need to have the kind of bond that only two men who have answered an anonymous three-way ad can have.
Okay.
And you know, afterwards, I don't know, we play some random ass game. I don't give a shit.
Okay.
Humanoid, have we done that? I don't know. I just figured this is the most important thing for
Okay.
it. So podcasting while tense is not, you know, the best thing.
All right.
So let's just open the door and see what happens.
All right.
Okay.
Hey.
It's a wait, this is real weird. It's like an empty apartment almost. But
Yeah.
there's an object there.
It's just on the floor. Let me pick it up. It's covered in dust, covered in sand.
Hopefully dust. Okay.
Huh.
CD-ROM for Dune.
Oh, Dune 2? That game's supposed to be good.
Oh, okay. Okay. No. Here, let me. There's still more dust.
Oh, okay. Let's.
Here it says Dune 1.
Huh. I mean, it stands to reason that there would have been a first. I mean, there's more dust here. Whew. To serve man.
The here, and I got in this like this fetish gimp still suit for nothing. And
Well, I mean, at least you've reclaimed some of your pee.
yes, some but not all coal.
Fuck.
Rocking 85% on this one. It's not good enough. It's a B.
Oh,
I am Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
This is After Suffering, the show where you play bad games, so you don't have to.
Yeah. Why are you doing this to us?
Nothing.
And
And
go.
I pretended to know more about Dune than I know,
Oh.
which is actually very little.
Okay.
So, yeah,
Yeah, I was
this
gonna
is
s
I don't want this to turn into the Cole explains Dune to Gary
N
hour, but like,
no,
I don't know Dune that well.
I've only read the one book, and it was a long time ago in high school. I'm more familiar with the David Lynch movie, the one with the baller soundtrack by Toto and Brian Eno. So, it stands to reason that isn't really faithful to the book. I was about to say like, oh, it only took us 262 episodes to talk about Dune, but you're unfamiliar with the canon.
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, I kind of know it. I saw this movie, but I saw the movie when I was in like high school. And
Okay.
then that's it. Like I haven't seen it since. I've got it over in my corner over there on VHS, which I think is the proper way to watch this movie. I haven't rewatched it yet though. So like I'm interested in Dune. Seems interesting. I like a suit that lets you drink your pee, which is my understanding of what it's about. But the other than that, like,
yeah, no, exactly.
It's like the Hudsucker proxy, but for that suit, you know?
You know, for kids.
Yeah, for kids, adults.
Yeah. Like, yeah, so you know, here's what happens. The Emperor of Space says, "I'm tired of all my pee going away." So he sends a royal family that he hates to a desert planet in order to kill the Fremen, skin them, and make skill suits out of their skin. Yeah,
and it's a lot like in section Turner and Hooch, where like Hooch, the dog cop.
Yeah,
is doing a tons of drool, and it's like really slimy, and he's getting it everywhere. And Tom Hanks has to turn over and like run his fingers through it, like he's just seen a waterfall for the first time, and be like, "There's got to be some kind of use for this." And that's what happened with the Emperor of Space. He was making, and then he just like ran his fingers through it, and it's like, you know what? This is still kind of water.
Yeah. Or it's like it's like that anecdote about when Steve Jobs was looking at the prototype for the iPod. It's like, this is too big. And they're like, well, it's as small as it can be. And he walked over to his aquarium full of saliva and he threw it in, and there were a bunch of bubbles coming out. And he said, "I need that much more saliva in here." And then he walked out and nobody knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. He loved wasting prototypes. That guy. It was like his whole thing.
And there was one,
and also smelling real bad.
Yeah, I need lots of fruit.
Yeah, he just eats fruit. Smells like, you know, like a ward. I don't know what kind of ward, but like some kind of ward.
It almost sounded like you said it's like some kind of award.
Sure. Yeah. Stinkiest entrepreneur award.
Yeah, no, but you just you want to make sure you don't waste your fluids.
Yeah. So that's what this is about, and the game is about it too, at least as far as I played. I spent a lot of time trying to get one of these suits, and then I went online to look up what the suit did. I was like, oh yeah, it's those piss suits. I just spent a lot of time in this game trying, like, talking to people about the suits. Like, people are eyeing each other's suits. You go to a guy and you're like, you know, ask about skin still suits. He's like, I've seen you've been eyeballing my still suit.
Yeah.
It's like, who's like, look at the undressing, like dressing these suits with their eyes.
Yeah. You walk up to the other guy, he's got a pin on that says, "Ask me about Loom." And then you ask him and he says, "I'm dying. The pin let the fluid out."
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would tell you about Loom, but pee into my mouth and then I will. You know, I need fluids. I think that instead of having a skin suit, you could also just have like a silencer on your ding dong that just did that reclamation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a little bit like you can get one of the you can get a filter installed in your faucet, but you know, it's a lot of work. So you know, you end up getting like one of those single use bottles that has the filter built into it. Except in this case, the bottle fits snugly, forms an airtight seal around your ding dong.
Yeah. Yeah. Or she dong.
Yeah.
You know, or like Lady Ding Dong, like Lady, you know, whatever you pee out.
I'm not being normative. It fits snugly on your output port.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And then you just have water.
Yeah.
You know, and then sweat's a little trickier.
A little bit, yeah. Know? Yeah. And then there's the ever present and vexing puzzle of the feces. So
yeah, I don't know how to get water out of that. But presumably the still suits do that though, right?
They do, yeah. And that's the reason that's I pronounced feces weird, because I think that Kyle MacLachlan was just really uncomfortable pronouncing feces. Like he was just cosmically unsettled by the idea of a suit that recycled feces water back into your mouth. So instead of saying feces, he says feces.
Yeah. pretty gross.
But it's a ruckus. You gotta do what you gotta do.
It's the kind of thing you should base a 47 book you know, sci-fi epic about.
Yeah. In fairness, I think Frank only wrote two and then his son picked up with all the rest.
Yeah, his children, like multiple children, right? Like
maybe?
It's like a, I think.
Yeah. You got a real McCaffrey situation going on there.
Did you know that the soundtrack album for this is called Dune Spice Opera?
Yes, I did. Yeah, that is amazing.
Yeah. But the soundtrack to this is good.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. Like I said, Toto and Brian Eno, you cannot go wrong.
Well, I mean, even just the game.
Oh yeah.
Like, it is based on those compositions, but it sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was grooving to this this PC speaker emulation music.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So to clarify, just so people, in case people are curious, this is a 1992 game made by Cryo Software. This was actually demanded by our friend from the Slack, Joe Threepwood, who said, "Odd one, this. The secret to success is to be as aggressive and fast as possible, getting your economy up, et cetera, et cetera." This is not Dune 2, which is more of a kind of like standard strategy game. This is a very strange hybrid where it's a hybrid adventure game with dialogue and stuff like that, a little bit of dungeon crawly kind of stuff, and then also a strategy game where you're trying to balance kind of allocating your forces to mining and refining spice and also fighting the Harkonnens.
Yeah, who are not good.
Yes.
Yeah. Joe's awesome. Like Joe has written a bunch of cool Deus Ex stuff. Like done, but he's a game journalist, or was at one point. I don't think he still is.
Yeah.
But yeah. So this is something I've known about and like read about quite a bit, because the thing about Dune 2, which you mentioned, it's not the first, but it's one of the very early RTSs.
Right.
You know, the Westwood game. Was kind of who went on to do Command and Conquer, which was kind of an also ran. RTS series, not really also around. Like at the time they were big.
Yeah.
Not still around, I guess.
Yeah. Unless you count that weird little app that they debuted that was a bit like, oh, here's Clash of Clans, but we're not gonna tell you it's Command and Conquer when we show it to you. We're gonna wait until after you've seen this underwhelming thing before we say, yeah, this is what Command and Conquer
that,
is.
That thing was Command and Conquer.
Yep.
But this one I had always thought about, because that one's Dune 2 is largely considered to be more interesting because it's such a pioneer in that genre. Mm-hmm. This is something I've read about for years, just because it is one of these like hybrid games, and doing this at the same time we're playing Quest for Glory for WoF is just like, oh yeah, like the PC did have a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like this era of PC gaming from like the late 80s to the early 90s, kind of after the dungeon crawl CRPG boom and before the Wolfenstein 3D Doom clone boom, was this weird time for a lot of different kind of hard to categorize multi-genre games.
Yeah.
Like this. Mm-hmm. And this is really interesting. Like I didn't play very much of it, and it does have a thing if you don't know Dune very well, which I don't, like I would need to rewatch the movie.
Yeah.
Before I get this, it's a lot like signing up for a Mastodon account where it's like, use your Froof Noodle to get the Freeman onto the Slee Stack. You know, like the emperors of Catch Pockets have Arrakis's, you know, family, you know, it's just words.
Yeah.
None of this stuff actually makes sense.
Lots of nouns. And also it kind of like falls a little bit into the ActRaiser problem, where both of the modes seem, you know, more stripped down than a dedicated version of them would be.
Yeah.
You know, like the moving around in dialogue is not particularly detailed. You're seeing cool visuals and stuff. The character portraits are well done and such. They're, you know, the visuals are based on the movie. I think that like the visuals in the movie are the one thing about that movie that is, you know, that are unassailable. So like all of that holds. But you know, it's not particularly like complicated. You're mostly just going and like talking to people, and the one option is like, do you want to proceed or no?
Right. Like it's going for greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
Like how ActRaiser does, you know? But as is, that's something I've always been kind of interested in because of that hybridization.
Yeah.
While also like, after we get done with this, I'm not going to like pick it up and play a bunch of it, I don't think.
No.
Because again, I don't understand. I don't have the points of reference, and it's not doing a good job of onboarding me.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so.
Yeah. I always thought, so you know how some arcades had that Uncle Fester's like pain tolerance test?
Yeah, that just vibrated your hands.
Yeah. I always like thought that was really fun. Like I love like just how numb it made you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They really kind of missed a shot by not kind of repurposing that as a gamja bar.
Yeah, I don't know what a gamja bar is. I'm trying to remember, like it's been high school, so it's been an early high school. Like it may have been like 25 years since I've seen that movie.
the gamja bar is the box that Kyle MacLachlan has to put his hand into. It's like the pain test to like figure out if you if our crazy breeding program was successful and you are messiah material.
If you've created a Kyle MacLachlan,
yes.
Yeah. All you give me is Sarah's. Big pile of Sarah McLachlan's over in the corner. The pass the ganja test.
In the failed the ganja bar?
The ganja bar.
Dune themed dispensary called Ganja Bar?
I'd be pretty surprised if that wasn't already a thing. Oh, I think the only reason why not is because nobody remembers that reference from fucking Dune, man. Like, even if I remember the box now you talk about it, but I don't remember where they were called.
Ganja Bar is like up there with like weirdy modules in terms of like, even if you're not aware of like the names of things, like the idea of it is still in there. You know, the idea of that technology has leaked out.
Yeah. I imagine it's the same way. Like a lot of people understand that there's the Blade Runner eye scanning device, but not everybody remembers that's a Voight Kampff test.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Why aren't you helping?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've got I haven't gone to it yet, but I have in my new neighborhood, I had an extremely stoned Lyft driver, and he was telling me about a dispensary that's by my new house, 'cause he was really excited that I moved. And he said it's like the future. Like you go in and there's like a touch screen
cool.
and stuff. I haven't gone, but he said
I love the idea of that. It's like a future. There's touch screen. I'm sorry. Yes. I ordered you to come to my home with a touch screen. A touch screen is telling you what to do.
But not for a dispensary.
Okay.
Or a bar or anything. Like we haven't, like, you know, that's still kind of futuristic. It's just in bad McDonald's.
Yeah.
That you have like touch screen ordering.
Or a Wawa.
What's a Wawa?
It is an East Coast kind of like Pennsylvania convenience store, like a Sheetz does this too, where you order a sandwich on a touchscreen and then they bring it out.
Interesting.
Yeah,
we don't have Sheetz out here either. That kind of stuff hasn't shown up here. And no touchscreen convenience stores. But I it'd be dumb for me to go in there because like the only thing that I'm interested in like a pot store now is the tincture stuff, like the oil that I can make the tincture out of, which is like, give me a black syringe. Like they only have one.
Right.
You know, and I'll just ask for that thing.
Yeah.
I don't need to go in there and press it on a touchscreen. But he was selling it pretty hard. He's just like, it's really cool. It's really cool. And then apparently there's a bar by my house that is mad wild.
Okay, so cool. I had to go to this is bar that is that a back wild. Of the box quote?
That's what he said. He's like, this place is mad wild.
What makes it more mad wild than any other building that serves alcohol?
I don't know. Like once you introduce alcohol to the equation, things get mad wild pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, that's my thought about it.
Mm.
But yeah, I got to go over that place. I think I actually don't want to say where it is. I'm trying not to dox myself on air.
Yeah.
And say what area of town I live in. I may have already fucked that up with a couple different references to things. Mm. But this isn't that rare, but I'm close to a strip club.
Okay.
Here and I have a buddy visiting and I think we're gonna go, like he's never been.
Oh shit.
And just for this show.
Okay.
Like I've talked about how little I get from strip clubs.
Right.
But there's one that's like, you know, we could pregame at home to a pretty severe extent and still get there no problem. Like it's very close.
Yeah.
And looks very funny. Like it's not as good, like it looks like it'll be funny. And essentially just so I can talk about it on the show.
That's reasonable.
So look forward to that in like mid-October. It's not my band practice by my friend Andrew, who plays guitar in my band, is across the street from two strip clubs, one called Mr. Peeps that has this picture of this little anthropomorphic like pervert, and then one called Hog's Magic Lamp, I think.
Oh, that is great. Hog's Magic Lamp. Tell me is Hog's with two G's?
Yeah, no, it's with a W though. Hog's Magic Inn. Hog's Magic Inn, not Magic Lamp. So yeah, I was really excited for Magic Lamp, but Magic Inn is also pretty good. Hog,
H-A-W-G.
Got a big gross cartoon pig on it. Extremely nasty.
Oh, they do professional stand-up comedy.
I'm sure that is that is professional.
Yeah.
Because it was Mr. Peeps. Is this just called Peeps? The peephole with Mr. Peeps?
Is it named after the late 90s era Chris Kattan SNL character where he's like the little wild man?
This predates that quite a bit.
Okay.
So this is Mr. Peeps' peephole, and it's a porno shop. I thought it was two strip clubs next to each other, but this is a porn shop next to Hog's Magic Inn. So yeah, man,
one stop
get,
shop.
Get all your needs met.
Mr. Peeps 2 adult superstore.
Yep.
Huh. Yep.
There's a bunch of things in here that say 2X's. Like, what? I don't even know what double X means. Yeah. Like, what can't you show a double X?
Ooh, that's a lot of writing crops. That is a far wider selection than I would have expected, actually.
Love to get crops. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to buy a 6-pack of crops and go over to Hogs and implement.
I think that's my plan for the evening. I guess it's Portland. Everything goes. Fuck.
Yeah. Maybe I go into the bathroom and self implement, which I mean, I provide I leave a crop and the take a crop, leave a crop.
Yeah. Portland has a pretty extensive history with sex work and stuff. Is there a law there about against advertising for strip clubs and stuff?
I don't know about that, actually.
Okay.
I know that there is a thing where we have, I think for a long time, I don't know if it's still true, but I had the greatest number of strip clubs per capita.
Okay.
Because they're considered like it's under our free speech laws.
Okay.
Like it is considered, it's like the same laws that govern kind of traditional art and theater also govern our strip clubs.
Yeah.
So it just kind of allows for it. It also means that, like, I haven't gone to it, but I went to a improv show over the weekend, and the it advertised other shows they were having, and a bunch of them like had nudity and stuff. Like, they were comedy shows, but have like sex stuff, and they're 21 plus. And I imagine that's the same reasoning behind both those things.
Yeah.
You know, so like the same reason, you know, I could, if you ever wanted to watch a bunch of improv actors get naked.
I honestly am having trouble figuring out which experience would be more uncomfortable.
Yeah. So. I always joke about, like, that's always the joke, but I've had very good experiences with like Portland improv.
Yeah.
You know, like it's all been like pretty good. Mm-hmm. But the, that's a weird thing that I can do kind of whenever I want.
Yeah.
Here, I haven't really thought about.
Yeah.
So.
No. We do have a law, just like vice laws against advertising, specifically for strip clubs, but also I think maybe for certain kinds of casinos. Like, it's really restricted where those billboards can be. I'm speaking specifically of Cincinnati right now. So, like, if you're downtown at the right time of day, you see those mobile billboards that are just driving around.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be surprised, right? Because, like, I mean, and, you know, and you shouldn't take offense to this because you know it, but, like, Ohio, you have, like, this series of monster governors and monster reps.
Uh-huh.
Like, Ohio's not good politically, right? Like, I'm not surprised by those laws. Like,
yeah, it's
your governor is a real, real monster, right? Like, am I imagining that? I'm not saying that to be accusatory, but
it's Kasich. So, like,
yeah,
it, you know, in relative terms, no, but he is, you know, a union busting piece of shit who is regressive in every single way, except for, like, he publicly disapproves of Trump. So, you know, on that sliding scale of 2018, Kasich gets talked about as
welcome
part
to the resistance.
Yeah, Kasich. As part of the resistance thing. But, like, no, I kind of remember what you did to our fucking public unions, dog. So
who is there a representative? There's something stronger than that I remember reading lately.
Jim Jordan recently is a real piece of shit. And he's in the representatives. Portman is part of the problem, but not necessarily advocating for a bunch of terrible stuff. And then we have I'm forgetting the name of our Democratic senator who is generally good, but mostly just on labor stuff.
Okay. That could be what I was thinking of.
Yeah, yeah.
I just remember, like, reading something recently and just being like, Jesus Christ, Ohio.
Yeah, Jim Jordan is the one who is, like, the biggest piece of shit right now.
That's that's probably what I was reading about.
Yeah, yeah. Sherrod Brown is our Democratic senator, and he is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I'll say that and somebody will come back and say, well, actually, blah, blah, blah. Like, in relative terms, he is good and progressive. So.
Yes. And on the Ohio curve.
Right.
Yeah. I was always surprised by how, when I found that, like, that Ohio has that kind of bent to it,
because
like the Midwest does have that, but there's also, like, I guess I was contrasting always with Illinois.
Yeah.
And that's not a brag, because, like, Illinois politics are awful and it's unreasonably corrupt. Like, that's that is the thing Illinois politics are known for. Like,
yeah.
They had an estate budget for like 10 years because they can't, like, it's absolute trash.
Yeah. Yeah. Then Wisconsin, you got Paul Ryan and what's his name? Lizard Man, who also was like, who came in alongside Kasich on a platform of like, let's just make sure workers never have any rights.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, and also Illinois has the illustrious, kind of designation right now of actually having a literal avowed Nazi running.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We're not the only ones anymore, baby. There's somebody else. Another person just won a primary.
Yeah.
Who's avowed. So this country is extremely bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
That keeps happening. Yeah. How does that? Like, yeah. It's incredible. It's like, my fucking God.
Yeah. And Indiana had fucking Pence. Detroit has the monsters who let Flint happen. Like this whole agglomeration of states. I love this area. Like the people are very, very nice. The wilderness, like the scenery here is very good. If you're not just in corn country or whatever, like I like the Midwest quite a bit. Politically, fucking backwards.
So, it's not good.
Yeah, and you know, like we look across the river and laugh at Kentucky, like haha, oh, Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell, like nah, and attend to the beam in thine own eye.
Well, yeah, and also too, it's worth, like, I'm not saying this as you know, I am from Illinois. I have Illinois tattooed on my body. I'm not a West Coast elitist, and I understand there are good people everywhere. Like, it's one of the things as people were, it was in the discourse, but one of the things that I really agreed with that somebody was talking about was like, whenever anyone says like all the good states should just succeed and make their own thing. And it's like, it's a bandit. Like all of these states are like half good. Mm-hmm. All the bad states are like half good,
right?
Are full of like half good people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just half of them suck, right. and the good people get gerrymandered out of it. Like most people, even in the shittiest of states, are still good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just abandoning them like is not a moral action,
right?
You know, just being like, oh, they're not real.
Yeah,
it's like no, you know, the real, real slim margins. Does evil continue to triumph in even the shittiest places?
Yeah.
You know,
and like something that, you know, so this will probably be happening by the time this episode comes out in a couple of weeks, but like I'm moving back closer to home in North Central Ohio to be near family. But like another, you know, something that kind of I'm excited about is like, I am moving out of a pretty safely blue, county, to a place that could, you know, desperately use a vote, you know, maybe,
yeah.
You know, and maybe in a community engagement kind of sense, you know, like just another blue person, like trying to reverse the flight of progressive minded people out of these, you know, more rural and suburban kind of places. Right. That seems like a, you know, like a way that I could do good is to just like not contribute to the forfeit of these areas, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. It is a bummer. Yeah, and probably ties into Dune. I bet you there's politics in Dune.
Well, Dune is all politics. Like, so that is kind of the secret. And like, if you go back and read it, but like the movies make it seem like it's all about riding worms and, you know, leading desert pissing. Insurrections and stuff. Pissing in your own mouth. But in reality, it is, you know, it is about like the space emperor and specific ways to kind of like rat fuck a particular, you know, royal family that is, you know, a real thorn in his side. Right. So it's a lot of maneuvering. It's a lot of nouns, just a lot of nouns, colliding with each other until eventually a worm comes and eats them all.
Yeah, just eats all the letters.
Yeah.
Until eventually you get the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog and the worm can be satisfied with a 26 course meal. Two things, like we don't have to necessarily vamp for time, but I had two, there's game facts thing, but I had one other thing I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
That I had kind of in the pocket. I finished listening to the rest of the Norm MacDonald Show.
Okay.
Podcast. And the last episode he had before, like, you know, that's going to turn into, apparently turned to a Netflix show. So all those podcasts got taken down, and stuff was with Jim Carrey. What the fuck's going on with Jim Carrey?
I mean, he's always been a fucking crazy man.
Has he? Cause maybe I just wasn't paying attention to him during the, during his fart smithing years.
Yeah.
But he's really unhinged
on
that show.
I mean, It's pretty uncomfortable. When I say always, like, even going back as far as, like, did you ever watch the documentary Jim and Andy?
No.
Of the footage of him on the set of Man on the Moon?
I know that he pretended not to be, like, an actor during it. Like, he was real, like, method acting, and that came up during the episode, too.
Yeah.
I was just like, I wasn't there, Andy was there. And then, like, nobody's playing along with it. But he just sticks with it, and I'm like, "Oh, you suck. That's awful. Like, you're making everything very uncomfortable for everyone around you for no reason."
People were just trying to do their jobs.
Yeah, like, people are just trying to talk to you like a person, and you're just being like, "I wasn't there."
Do you want the tuna or the chicken? Was there.
Just like shut up.
I'm Johnny Clifton. Like, stop harassing me, dog.
Please just interact like a person. Does he do a lot of that in the documentary?
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. It is a little bit of a cross section.
Portly love. When would I ever say that?
Poor Courtney Love. No, but it also, like, it looks even further back into his career and, like, talks about kind of his own validation issues and how that has, like, a resonance with what he feels with what his interpretation of Andy Kaufman's whole deal is. You come away looking at Jim Carrey as being a profoundly unsettled man, even more so than other, you know, even more so than most comedians tend to be. What particular flavor did his crazy, I don't mean to say crazy like an ableist,
yeah,
I apologize for that, in what particular degree did he concern you?
Well, he just kept, like, he kept saying he was still, like, he was, like, halfway between just being, you know, the fart smith that we all know and love, where he was just kind of, like, making jokes and doing faces and sound effects, which, like, didn't make great audio,
right?
But then just kept saying, like, he doesn't exist. And he was saying it, like, to make a profound point at first, which is not a good profound point, but just like, you know, this, you know, I don't exist. I'm not there. You know, it's just kind of like, okay, you're stoned at Denny's and, like, you're saying some bullshit. But then for the rest of the episode, he would get kind of, like, offended when anyone would refer to his past, because that, you know, showed that it existed, I guess. So he'd be like, your career. And he'd be like, there's no me in that. Like, I don't exist. Like, there's no me in that career. Like, and every time he would trip him up, and the people, you know, so Norm MacDonald and his trusty sidekick, noted fuckwit Adam Egget, were trying to, like, just interview him like, you know, a person, and as people who really liked him, like, they, you know, they respected him a lot. And he just, like, was just, like, you know,
just making talking impossible.
Yeah. Just making talking impossible because of this dumb little affectation and, or, like, you know, actual serious, right? Like, it came off straddling. I say that, I don't want to offend anybody. It comes off straddling the line between an affectation and it's somewhere between an affectation, a genuine opinion, and, like, an illness.
Yeah. Like an actual dissociative condition.
Yes. And it's very hard to tell the difference between them. And the reason why dumb little affectation is the thing that I want to go to is because it was so fucking obnoxious.
Yeah.
Like, it was really annoying, and it just had that feeling of being embarrassed for people in a room.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was not a pleasant listening. It was interesting because I didn't really know that about him. I knew he's, like, an anti-vaxxer, and that's all I really knew.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know if he comes by that honestly, or if it's just because of his wife.
Yeah, that's true too. You know, but I mean, there's no good way to come upon that.
Right.
It's just like, it's just an old family thing. we come from a long line of anti-vaxxers. We trying to get everyone polio, you know, like, it's just
herd immunity.
Yeah. Herd immunity. I done heard of it, but I ain't seen it. It's like, what are you talking about? There's no me. Shut up. Just shut up.
Yes. Whatever, yes. Mr. Carrey, I understand. We all play a role. Life is just a continuous procession of masks. I understand. Yep. Will you please talk? We are here.
There's a certain amount of buy-in to the experience of an interview that you should have already done.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, not, before you got here.
It's not like we, like, fucking black-bagged you and, like, just kicked you out of a van and, like, put you in front of a microphone. This isn't the video for fucking This Year by the Mountain Goats. Like, come on.
Yeah, we didn't thank you for smoking. you are not literally stoned at Denny's right now.
Right.
You know, and he doesn't do it. Like, he kept talking about how he doesn't do any drugs, which, like, I believe, But it's just one of those things that, like, you know, he's getting annoyed when somebody's just like, what kind of drugs are those guys on when they were so creative? It's like, you can also, like, you can just be creative and be straight. And then you can also be creative and be fucking obnoxious too.
Was he trying to do like a fucking Salvador Dali, I don't take drugs, I am drugs kind of thing? Or
he didn't say that, but he just kind of kept saying like he doesn't do anything.
Right. Right.
You know, he doesn't put anything. And he is like a weirdo health nut. Like, he made them all some weird cacao coffee thing early on, and had this whole weird thing about like tantric sex being this metaphor for Jesus and Santa Claus thing that was like not played for laughs and was excruciating to listen to for 10 minutes and listen to people try to make jokes about it because it's a comedy interview show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucked. So anyway, so what the fuck's going on with that guy? I guess I just never dipped in. I haven't checked in on that guy for a little while. I just assumed he was fine and didn't like vaccinations because he's a moron. And like, in fact, he's a weirdo in not a fun way.
Yeah.
You know, at all.
Yeah. If you get a moment, if you're looking for something to watch while you're going to sleep, put on that documentary. I think it'll, in one sense be fucking intolerable because, you know,
but it will make sense. It will follow.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So GameFAQs has a thing that I like on this.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the same GameFAQ that I did?
I looked, but I didn't see anything that stuck out. So maybe I just didn't find it. Maybe I wasn't thorough enough.
It's pretty brief. It's by Benno Jange, Jenga, okay. Which is like very much like a Steve Brule name. Dr. Benno Jenga. And he's the only thing I really like is his author's note.
Okay.
So about this fact, hey, I'm still alive. I have wife and son now. Phew. It's been almost 12 years since the first update. I played the game a long time ago, 1995. Since the internet not so popular at that time, so I can't find the fact for it. Now, as I check on GameFAQ, there is one good fact, but that fact didn't cover what I expected, and that's why I wrote this fact and posted it on GameFAQs. It's like, okay, but very funny.
That's literally like you could read that in the same voice as the kid from the pork chop sandwiches video.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I have a wife and family now. Ooh, almost 12 years since I did the cooking, but no, you do the cooking.
I want everyone to start everything with like, hey, still alive. I'm still alive. I have wife and son now. Fired wife and son.
Are they yours? Did you take them from somebody else?
I don't know. He had them though.
He have wife and son.
He does have wife and son. And in that time, the internet not so popular.
Welcome to my unofficial MGS VR missions FAQ. This FAQ will help you on getting through all the missions, but perhaps not getting the best times. Although this fact can be used for VR Disc and Metal Gear Solid Integral, but I am not aware of any major gameplay differences. I wrote this fact since I couldn't find any detailed fact for it on GameFAQs. What a surprise for me! That's what I think when I still... So, we're obviously dealing with an ESL kind of guy.
I was going to make that disclaimer. Yes. I was on the edge of my seat to make that disclaimer during that section where I was like, uh-oh. You know, like, I understand this is an ESL guy. It just makes it, it's still just funny text.
Yeah.
Like, when I imagine somebody being mad at us making fun of that, like, it's just to me, it's like the same, the effect is like the same as if this was kind of like a Steve Brule thing. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of make funny sentences. Like, there's not enough thought put behind this to be like, we're making fun of him for not knowing the language.
Right.
It's just their funny sentences. Mm-hmm. No, because we're idiots.
Yeah. You know? Well, it is just uncommon combinations of words, right? Like,
yes.
Like there is an accidental poetry to it.
Yes. Which I like.
Yeah.
You know, I am down for that, and try to emulate it like when I speak as well. Like, that's a thing that like I will do a lot of malapropisms and awkward phrasings and stuff like that. Yeah. Kind of stuff works for me.
Yeah. I mean, that is entirely what Tiny Fuppets runs on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and like you could make somebody could make the argument, and please don't make the argument to me, that like that is trading on like ESL or just like isn't other languages funny.
Yeah.
You know, but my enthusiasm for that is genuine enough that I am like on day 40 of like learning the language.
Right.
So it's not, you know, like, yes, you can interpret it that way. Yeah. I think that the subtleties You know, yeah. There are subtle distinctions.
Yeah, to be an advocate for myself in that regard, I think the heart of that is just that I enjoy the musicality of language. You know, like that's mm-hmm. what makes like a Coen Brothers movie interesting mm-hmm. and engaging, right? You know, just like and it's to be found everywhere.
And sometimes it just the same way, like it just kind of becomes very pure. Like this is from the introduction for Chocobo Racing mm-hmm. that he did. At last, the king of RPG, Square, has released a racing game, which is called Chocobo Racing. This game looks like Mario Kart and Crash Team Racing. By the way, the famous Chocobo has started to make another surprise for us. Like, I don't
know. He has started to make another surprise.
So like by the BTW, it's not even by the way, it's BTW. BTW, the famous Chocobo has started to make another surprise for us. Very cute.
Should I be worried?
Yeah, just grinding out eggs.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. On the animal group that I follow, somebody posted a video of this a chicken egg that somebody made that was like the size of gigantic novelty, like Easter egg.
Okay.
You know, like, so like a softball, but egg shaped, like the widest part of the egg was as big as a softball.
Jesus.
And it had a bunch of egg stuff in it and a second regular sized egg.
What?
And it made me gag, like watching this person carefully open it. Cause I kept expecting like some kind of skeleton monster in there, like some kind of, you know, just like a big pile of beaks.
it's like some kind of teratoma kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I was really expecting it to get like super gross, but it was so nasty. Like, yeah. And it was just like an egg within an egg, and just like this chicken put out this thing the size of like what I understand to be a chicken.
Huh.
You know, so like pretty gross.
Huh. No, I don't like that one bit.
No good.
No sir. Yeah. I don't like it.
Yeah, like that group gives and takes.
I am happy to receive your curated selections from those
service. I do. Yeah. So thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
For this, thank you for recommending this and Patreon demanding it. We really do appreciate it. Thank you for the support. Mm-hmm. If you want to support us, if you want to get extra episodes of the show, if you want to join the Slack, if you want to just kind of generally help out your boys, the best way to do that is to go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yes. There you can give us $5 a month, just as a suggestion, get extra episodes of this show, get access to our Slack community. All those good things, and the benefits go up and down. If you are able to give, we appreciate it. It lets us live by doing this.
It let us live.
It makes us constant surprise.
Yes, it does. By the BTW, we're coming up with a big surprise for you. We are. There's a fun Patreon only thing coming soon.
Yeah, it might even be out by the time you're listening to this. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? But you'll have to join us on Patreon to find out.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you can do is rate and review the show, tell your friends, talk about our message boards, generally spread the word.
Yeah.
That's very helpful as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, come back next week. We will be here. If you will be here, let's agree to meet. If we say 9 o'clock, we're just going to be here at 9 o'clock.
That will make it our beeswax.
Yes.
To be here at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Yeah. So, until next time, who is, I mean, like, I guess Spice Dog.
Yeah.
But
who is Ganja Dog?
It's Ganja Dog. I sell marijuana at competitive prices to keep my office alive.
Just text me. I'll be there in like 20 minutes.
And just text me. I'll send one of my dweebs to go deliver it.
All right. Rude Dog. Hi, Rude Dog.
Hello. How are you?
I am not high. Can you fix that?
Absolutely. Go ahead and log on to our portal.
Do you accept cryptocurrency?
Yeah, of course.
It's the only way to fly.
We accept all kinds of whatever's most convenient for you. It's the rude way.
You're so helpful, Rude Dog.
Thanks. That's the rude way. Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Okay, I gotta turn on some fans before I die.
Okay.